This is the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast with Neil Schaefer, where I help sales and marketing professionals, entrepreneurs, and small business owners build, leverage, and monetize their influence in digital and social media. Hey, everybody, this is Neil Schaefer, and welcome to episode number 155 of the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast. I am in the same situation that all of you listening to this right now are probably in. That is, under lockdown, at home, doing our best, trying to shuffle remote work with family, with children that are home all the time. And I feel the same that you feel. We're sort of all in this together. And I heard this on another podcast recently, but it really struck me. As professionals, we always say, when we have time, we want to do this, or when we have time, we want to do that, or we never have time. Well, now we have a lot of time on our hands. So I truly believe those that invest their time wisely during lockdown, obviously, first and foremost, in your family and health, but after that, in professional education, and in terms of my own podcast and new book on influencer marketing, on developing relationships with other people, it's really going to help you reap dividends. I've spent the last 3 weeks in a lockdown, you know, looking to develop a lot of old relationships and create new ones. And I hope that you find ways to do that as well. And it's going to be a reminder for today's episode that I'm going to get to in just 1 second. I do want to remind everybody that this podcast is being sponsored by The Age of Influence, my new book, which just came out. Not the best timing because it came out on March 17th, but it is available everywhere. For those of you that have already read it and that have written an Amazon review, I really appreciate it. Reviews, as you can imagine, in this age of digital influence are critical to the success of the book on platforms like Amazon. And I hope that if you've already read the book, I'm going to continue that offer that if you have read the book and you leave a review, please let me know. And I'm going to offer you a free 15-minute consulting or just 15 minutes to chat about life, whatever you want to make of that time together. I've already had some take me up on that offer, and I hope you will as well. So today is a very special interview with one of the true leaders in marketing today, Mark Schaefer. Mark is the author of many books. You'll hear me reintroduce him when I get to the interview. So for those of you that know Marketing Rebellion or The Tao of Twitter, The Content Code, he's written several books. He also teaches at Rutgers Business School, as I do. I often bump into him there. He is obviously a true thought leader, and more than that, just one of the kindest people that you will see or hear or meet in marketing. Now, when Mark recorded this interview, which was literally just a few days ago, it was for the first time that he mentioned that his wife actually had coronavirus, and therefore he was literally in quarantine and trying to be very careful. It is very unfortunate that since we had that interview just a few days ago, he has announced on social media that he has also tested positive. So obviously, I send my utmost prayers and positive vibes Mark's way. And I hope that you will as well, especially after listening to this podcast. This podcast episode, it's sort of like the pandemic that we're in. We threw the script out the window. We were going to talk about something completely different because Mark has also written a book on influencer marketing, ROI, Return on Influence, that he wrote several years ago. So we were going to talk about a lot of different things about influencer marketing, personal branding, but with coronavirus and with his wife's situation, we ended up tapping into a theme that Mark talks about in his latest book, Marketing Rebellion, which is that the most human company wins. And if you have any doubt as to what your company or what you should be publishing in social media today, I think this podcast episode is going to be perfect for you because we really have a chance now to be that human brand that, well, marketers have been telling us we need to do all along. So now's the time to not just really serve your community, but to actually proactively help them. And there's a lot of things that we can all be doing. And I hope as part of this podcast that you'll look at Mark's, I'll link up to his social media profiles, But I hope that you'll sort of leave him a positive word of encouragement and of prayer, regardless of your religion. And I'm confident that Mark's going to come out of it okay, but I think any positive vibe you can send his way would be appreciated by him. And I know as his friend and all of his friends, we'd all appreciate it as well. So with no further ado, here is my interview with Mark Schaefer.
All right, everybody. Hey, thank you all for tuning in these troubled, uncertain times. I cannot think of anyone that is more of an expert in the space, someone that I look up to, and I know a lot of you do as well, to interview. Without further ado, you know, there's been so much said about Mark. I don't know how much more I can add. I remember my first interaction
with Mark. Neil.
I remember, I think it was like 2010 or maybe it was 2009. I joined Twitter in 2008, and it was really in the early days of Twitter when I saw, I don't know if you came up in my stream or if someone shared it, but I went to a slide share and I saw a presentation that Mark had done. And I think it might've been social media marketing for nonprofits. I forget. It was like this 127 page slide deck. And he basically uploaded it to SlideShare, which at that time was really unheard of. And I remember, like, you know, tweeting to Mark, I'm like, that's pretty incredible. And Mark's like, yeah, it's like, that's what I do, right? And I think if there's anyone that's been, you know, very giving to the community and giving back in all of his knowledge, and really, you know, it's funny with all this virtual school going on, and I'm going to stop here and then I'll let Mark talk. But this one last comment, with all this virtual schooling going on, my kid's soccer team, I have a ninth grader and a seventh grader. So my seventh grade boy, they did an Instagram live stream, and the coach was talking about all the different positions. And he goes, you know what? At the end of the day, we're looking for the complete package. The kid that can run, that can pass, that can score. And there's no better way to describe Mark, because no one has written and spoken and done just everything related to digital and social the same way that Mark has. So Mark, welcome. It's such an honor to have you here.
Neil, you're so kind. You really are.
I'll give you a minute or two to bash me or whatever you want to say.
No. Cause dude, you know, everywhere I go, I tell Neil Schaefer, he is legit, man. I mean, he is an intellect and he's legit. So I love everything that you do. And congratulations on your new book too.
Thank you, sir. Mark, obviously you've come out with a number of books. What are you talking about today? What's your marketing?
I think, Neil, it really reflects the times. What I'm telling people is, we're in a truly unprecedented crisis right now. And I like to think about our conversations and our content like that old Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? Remember that old pyramid we learned in Psych 101, right? And so, you know, at the bottom of the needs, it's like, do I have a roof over my head? Am I going to eat? Am I going to be healthy? You know, and then right above that is like, am I going to be lonely? You know, am I going to be afraid? And then at the very top is aspirational things like, am I going to buy a boat, right? The world is suffering, and 99% of the people I know anyway are grieving and they're experiencing loss and they're afraid. And so, you know, right now, I think a lot of our messages need to go to the bottom of the pyramid, right? We need to connect with people where they are in this moment, and they're afraid and they might be panicky. They might have lost a job. They're grieving, they're experiencing loss. And so I've pivoted my content really starting a couple of weeks ago to just try to help, just try to nurture. I'm fortunate for this time because I have a background in applied behavioral sciences. So, you know, I have some skill set around coaching and counseling and that sort of thing. So it's just like, I haven't used those skills in a while, but it's what I can do. You know, it's the skills I can apply to the bottom of the pyramid right now. And that's all I can do. And so that's the messages I've been trying to get out there. How do you deal with disorientation? How do you deal with business uncertainty? How do you sell in this kind of environment? How do you just, you know, cope and start to deal with the stress? So those are sort of the things, you know, I've been working on, you know, for the last couple of weeks. All the other stuff is kind of on hold right now.
Yeah. You know, I have a bunch of friends that from high school that ended up becoming doctors, and we had a virtual reunion the other day. And they were all saying, you know, one of my friends is a dermatologist, but, you know, the hospital's saying, what else can you do? Right.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be asked to chip in.
Wow. What else can you do? What a world, huh?
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah. I mean, I saw a press conference today saying, you know, if you're in the medical field, please come to New York City. We need your help. You know, it's wow. I mean, what a world, you know, and I think as marketers and communicators, we've just got to be super, super sensitive to that. Just super sensitive to where the world is and try to find our place in that.
Yeah. My doctor friend referring to New York City said he didn't call it a suicide mission, but if you don't have the PPE, the personal protective equipment, it's obviously very, very dangerous. And in fact, he said, and for those of you listening, I don't really talk a lot about this in social media, but he basically said there's a new belief among doctors that a lot of the spread is actually happening in hospitals. People go in for testing that may be negative, but then go back positive. So, you know, you're not going to be able to see this, but I cut my finger really bad. It's healed now, like 2 weeks ago, wow. Cutting a frozen bagel, stupid thing to do. And it was bleeding really bad. And I would have gone to urgent care, but I'm just trying to, you know, take care of myself and just, you know, stay indoors as much as possible. And I'm sure you're doing the same, Mark. So yeah. It's a new reality for sure.
Well, absolutely. And something I shared with you, Neil, that I'm just beginning to talk about is my wife tested positive. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's, you know, you talk about stress and, you know, I'm fine. You know, I haven't shown any symptoms yet, but she's been sick for about 2 weeks, but she hasn't had to go to the hospital and she's on the other side of the curve now.
Good.
You know, the fever's gone and she's vertical, which is a big improvement over the last couple of weeks. And so, you know, I've got to be careful and, you know, I've been in a highly contagious environment, but I'm strong. I feel good. And I just, you know, I've got to be quarantined and I've got to be super careful, you know, over the next couple of weeks. It's just like you say, I mean, you start thinking about, I can't really do anything risky.
Yeah. And every time you go outside with every person you meet, your risk goes up. And that's with every package that you touch coming from the outside world in your house.
You got to think about all those things.
Yeah. And you know that the hierarchy of needs is really interesting because my parents are 93 and 92, still healthy, knock on wood. And they live in a assisted living facility. And my father had to go to ER last week, right? Oh, and I have four older brothers and we're texting each other, like, do we go to ER or not? I mean, there was a caregiver with him, thank goodness, but we ended up not going. It wasn't serious. He ended up coming back the next day, but it that loneliness that you talk about, that next step, it brings up a really, really sad reality of today. And I hope no one has to go through those tense hours that we had to go through, but
Well, it's happening a lot. It certainly is. And, you know, my parents are isolated now and, you know, and they were going to go to the grocery store the other day. I said, nope, just no.
Yeah.
You know, they're in their 80s. Just no.
I'm picking up for my parents as well. Yeah.
You know, we'll find somebody to do that for you. So.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's funny because I am always, I'm not like Mr. Evergreen, but I always want to make my content evergreen because I know, and you know as well, Mark, that certain types of content have a longevity, right? And podcasts have a longevity. You listen to a few podcasts a few months from now when hopefully things are better, and I'm sure they will be. And then they go back and listen to this, and it's almost like reading a blog post about Google Plus, right?
It's
sort of antiquated.
I even said that like on my podcast. I said, a few months from now, people are going to be listening and they're going to say, what the heck was that? What are they talking about?
Exactly.
But I think it's just like, you know, my view right now is just screw it. You just got to do what you got to do. Worry about the SEO later and you know, help people now, be relevant now.
Yeah. And as I said, you can't ignore the elephant in the room, right? I mean, it's there and everyone's living with it. So, but you know, at first I sort of thought, you know, there's the concept of newsjacking, right? And whenever something happens, you see all these bloggers and blah, they all, and I don't like to be part of that crowd, but at a certain point, obviously, when your clients start to ask you and other marketers and your readers start to ask you, you know, Mark, what should I do? That's when it's like, okay, this is something that we have to talk about, right? We have to serve our communities.
Right. And, you know, I think there's a lot of sort of, you know, awkwardness going on right now because, you know, there's no template for this. There's no strategy for this. You can't read a blog post and know how to, you know, navigate this. So what I try to counsel people is, look, let's just really try not to be too judgmental right now and have a lot of patience and grace with everyone. because we don't know their situation. And maybe they're acting in a really awkward and desperate way because they're really desperate. Maybe they got babies to feed, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know their situation. And so right now, I just think we just need to give grace to everybody, try to be understanding. I mean, there's people out there, you know, doing stuff. I kind of roll my eyes, but I think, you know, look, they're doing their best. They're good people trying to do their best. And they'll learn as they go, like we all will. But I think, you know, the overarching thing is we just need to be present. You know, we need to be present where people are now. It's such a weird time because, you know, people are grieving. I've talked to people about, you know, how would you sell to somebody who's at a funeral, right? You wouldn't say, hey, I've got this new online course on how to create a podcast. It's 25% off today. What people need to hear right now is, I'm sorry for your loss. What can I do for you right now? What can I do to help you? What can I do to nurture you? I was here for you before. I'm going to be here for you in the future, and I'm with you. And that's the fundamental foundational message that we need to have, you know, as marketers right now.
And maybe Mark, and we're obviously, I have our notes for the show. I could almost sort of tear these up. We're obviously we're totally fine. We're staying relevant to the times, but it's almost like, you know, one of the lessons that we're learning is we always need to be serving and helping and asking those questions. And maybe for a lot of marketers who have never done that, it's going to be, I'm not going to say a positive thing because we're in a crisis, but these are good skills to learn if people haven't done them, and that should remain with them for the rest of their life. And it's going to help them. I mean, not just their business, but themselves personally as well. Right.
I like that very much, Neil. Yeah, I'm hopeful as you are. The subtitle for my new book is called Marketing Rebellion, The Most Human Company Wins. And one of the frustrations I have is that a lot of the ways companies approach being human today, I describe it as like being like a grape lollipop. So a grape lollipop is not grape. It's, you know, there's no grape ever that tastes like a grape lollipop. Is purple, and some industrialist 100 years ago came up with this formula and said, it's grape. And now everybody's sort of conditioned to think it's grape, but it's not really grape. And a lot of that goes on with our marketing today, where we say we're being human, but it's a formula, or it's legally approved. There's no compassion. There's no vulnerability. There's no human voice. It's a stock photo, right? It's a stock photo of ethnically diverse people leaping in a field. And we call that, you know, we call that, oh, we're human because we have pictures of, you know, fake people on our site.
That's not the flash your pixels, they're great sites, but anyway.
Yeah, that's grape, that's a grape lollipop human, right? So we've got to, you know, we've got to show our real faces and our real voices and our real compassion. And I think that kind of builds on the comment that you made, is that there is a great lesson in this, is that all that stuff we were doing, you know, 3 weeks ago just is falling flat, and we've got to discover a new way, and that it demands a true human voice.
Indeed. And even, you know, iconic brands like Coca-Cola that are redoing their logos for the first time ever to encourage social, just it's a little thing, but it's actually from a branding perspective, that's huge, right?
Yeah, it's huge. And I've actually, you know, I love watching the best run companies are always the ones to watch in a situation like this, because they do you know, if you're a well-run company like Coca-Cola or Nike or Apple, they do everything right. I mean, they have a high standard for everything. And here's the thing that's so fascinating and frankly inspiring to me is, like, I talked to a brand leader at Adidas last week. And he said, you know, Mark, all of our advertising production has been stopped. We have no shoots. We have no advertising being produced. So if you think about it in that context, and you think about how fast these companies have pivoted under these circumstances, it's amazing.
Yeah, you know, one of my clients is, they're headquartered in California. They are a beauty company. They sell beauty product through Amazon and other, you know, retail outlets. And they also ship directly from the e-commerce store. And when Governor Newsom said that that's not a necessary enterprise, they had to close down their warehouse. They can't ship products. So they obviously pulled the plug on all the things we've been doing together in terms of advertising. Obviously, we still work together. It's sort of like a fractional CMO type of arrangement. But I'm like, well, what are you going to do now? And there's actually, and this is sort of the message I'm telling marketers, there's a lot that you can be doing now. Yes, you're going to stop those promotions. Mm-hmm. You talk about obviously that you know, showing empathy and being human, really helping people. And I also look at, there's stuff about your infrastructure. If you haven't redone your website in the last 5 years, you've been wanting to do it, this is a great time, right? There's this infrastructure, but it's also developing and working on relationships. And I'm really taking this time, whether it's through this interview with you, Mark, or with Zoom calls, or I'm keeping extremely busy, not just because I have a new book out and I'm still in promotion mode, but just, you know, developing relationships with lots of people, lots of companies, because I know we're going to get through this. And I think that those, the same thing I tell my kids, you know, if you're not really doing your best now, a month or 2 months from now, when you're back at school, there's going to be a big difference between the loafers and the people that worked hard. Mm-hmm. So, and I think it's going to be the same for businesses and for marketers, you know, use this time really, really wisely, right?
Well, I think that's great, great advice, and certainly great advice for your children as well. You know, I'd like to tell a little story. I told this on another show, I think it's had a powerful impact on people. But this was one of the biggest lessons I had in my career, learning from sort of a similar type of experience. I used to work for a big company called Alcoa. And when I worked there, it was a Fortune 100 company. And I was in sales. I was a sales leader there for a while. And we had this big customer. They bought 100% of their packaging material from us. We ran into this quality problem and we were shutting them down. We were shutting their customers down. It was a disaster. But they kept buying from us. And I had lunch with the president of the company and I said, I just got to ask you, you know, why are you sticking with us? Why aren't you going to one of our competitors? He said, well, let me tell you why I'm sticking with you. He said, my father was the founder of this company. And during World War II, we were making products that nobody wanted anymore. And we had to pivot for the war effort. But we needed cash, we needed equipment, and we needed technology. And Alcoa supplied that for us. Mm. We were going down the tubes. And your company saved our company. And when my father was dying on his deathbed, he told me, he said, never leave Alcoa. They brought us to the dance. And so we had an opportunity in this crisis to help our customers fight to the end, to fight to get to the other side, right? And, you know, I'm working with partners right now that are helping me fight to get to the other side. I'm working with partners who aren't. I have a friend who had to cancel an event, and that some hotel is sticking him with tens of thousands of cancellation fees in dollars. And look, he'll be around on the other side, and so will I, and so will that hotel. And we're going to remember, right? So you're going to remember what happens. So you're right. This is an opportunity to work on your infrastructure and all those things that you've been leaving to another time. But it's also an opportunity to help others, to help your customers and your partners get to the other side. That's the goal right now. Conserve cash, pivot. Do what you need to do to be relevant and fight and get to the other side, because we will get to the other side. It's going to be different, but you know it's going to come back. And so this is an opportunity to also really enable strong loyalty.
Yeah, you know, it reminds me of two stories I'm thinking of that sort of relate to each other. So I started my career at a semiconductor manufacturer in Japan, and they had this concept of main bank. So every company had one bank that they would rely on for financing, what have you. And normally it was the big, you have these, you know, three or four really, really big banks. Mm-hmm. But our company did business with a regional bank. And the reason is that regional bank, during the oil shock, like 1972, 73, when there was no finance available, they were able to get it from that company. It's a very similar story. And no matter how much all the big banks, the global city banks, what have you, knocked on their doors, at least when I worked there 30 years later, they still remembered that, and no one could get the business from them.
Isn't that amazing? That's an amazing story.
I also remember, you know, aging myself here. I was in college during the whole Berlin Wall collapsing. I'll never forget my poli sci professor was Czech, and it was 1989. And he said, if there's one thing I want to teach you about all of this is that people remember. People do not forget on so many levels. And I think also in this time of crisis, you're absolutely right. The loyalty it is so key. And just listening and maybe going out of your way. You know, I work with a group of VAs from a certain country. And when the leader reached out to me saying, you know, we're a social entrepreneurship company and we have people in need. You know, can you help us? I help, right, when I can. And I hope if everybody just did a little bit of that, then the world would be a greater place, not just in times of crisis, but every time. But it's just little things we can do that can make a big difference. And sometimes, Mark, I'm sure you'd agree, just from your background, just being there to listen. I think there's a lot of
people. Right now, it's paying attention. And, you know, there was a sort of a friend of mine, you know, a business colleague, you know, who posted something on Facebook about he was exhausted all the time. You know, he's just feeling exhausted all the time and sort of feeling, you know, sort of disoriented. I thought, you know, he's just from his Facebook posts, he's kind of sounding like he's feeling depressed. So I just called to check in on him, right? I think we need to do that kind of thing right now. And it's not really a self-serving thing, but you know, we need to pay attention to everyone that we work with. Because what I'm concerned about, Neil, is look, we've been in this for a few weeks, but you know, we're not close to the end yet. We got a while to go.
Yeah.
And the cumulative stress is going to start showing up in people in very scary ways and very harmful ways. And so we just need to be aware of the people that we live with, the people that we work with, the people that we care about. Just pay attention and just show grace, show compassion. Be understanding. You know, we need to be infinitely patient right now. And you know, I want to come back to that other point that I made is don't judge. You know, just try to believe in people and you know, just know that everybody's suffering and grieving right now.
So, Mark, for the podcast recording, I sort of want to, you know, tie up some of the things we've been talking about, and maybe the best way to serve our communities through this podcast is really, you know, these are the things we recommend you do. Just as a summary to sort of close this. Mm-hmm. So in this situation, we talked about a few things. What would be, if you could summarize, you're a marketer listening to this, you're an entrepreneur, you're a small business owner. What are the three things that we can learn from this that you should be doing today and on into the future?
Well, I think the three things I would say, Neil, is number one, you know, the theme of a lot of my content these days has been about embracing the chaos. The history of business disruption in business is about chaos, right? It's about taking advantage of disruption and chaos and responding in the right way. So there are a lot of opportunities. But the first thing I would say is, number one, be aware of the chaos within ourselves, right? Because even though we're business people and we're trying to keep it together, it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel worried because we're in unprecedented times. So sort of like embrace the chaos inside of you. Get to this point of acceptance before, you know, or you're not going to be able to make rational decisions. Number two, you've got to take steps to really deal with business uncertainty, or you're going to go crazy, right? You know, number one, you have to sort of release yourself and say, this was not my fault. All right. You're seeing a lot of crash stuff that you built crashing all around you right now. All right. And you might be thinking, why wasn't I more prepared? Why is this happening? You got to let it go. And you got to say, this was not my fault. Number one. Number two, you've got to stop doing the what if scenario thing, because we are in unprecedented times. Stick to what is knowable, stick to the facts. And that would be my third recommendation, is take positive actions. Focus on positive actions, right? If you have a positive frame of mind and you're clinging to anything positive you can find, that's going to spread to other people as well. It's going to help you push away the panicked, reactive sort of part of the brain that wants to take over right now. If you're living in that part of the brain, you're not going to be making rational decisions. You got to fight to be rational. You got to fight to see what's real and what's knowable. And don't dwell in the what ifs and the stuff that's not knowable. Just take it day by day, or you'll go crazy.
That's wonderful advice, Mark. Well said. I'd just like to add what I tell people: you can't control what you can't control. right? Mm-hmm. So on the flip side, you can control what you can control. So how you decide to live your life, like, you know, my kid's first grade teacher, life is about choices. What choice are you going to make? And with everything you do, you're making a choice. So make the right choices. It's a great time to spend time with people you know, whether it's physically or virtually, mm-hmm. resync, get re-energized. And when we get through this, I expect that we're all going to be better off, actually. So I know it might be hard to believe now, but I'm a believer in that. And I'm the type of person, Mark, where if I get knocked down, I want to come up twice as powerful. Yeah. And I think if everybody has that feeling.
I want to be right there with you.
Yeah, I'm sure you will be, Mark. So thank you so much for being on the podcast today, Mark. And I'm sure when you're on podcasts, you ask other people as well, hey, where can we find you? I think everybody knows where to find you, but just, you know, one last time, if you could just give us a brief of your URLs and social profiles, we'll put that.
Yeah, really, there's just one that you need to know. It's Businesses Grow. I figure, you know, your name and my name, people can never spell it. I mean, literally every single day, you know, I'm quoted somewhere and it's spelled some different way. So
I think I have some people reaching out to me. I'm thinking, are you trying to reach out to Mark and maybe, but anyway.
Yeah. There was actually a guy that had my name in London, my same name. And his Twitter bio was, I'm not the Mark Schaefer that wrote that book.
That's awesome.
But if you could find Businesses Grow, it's my blog. My podcast called The Marketing Companion. You can find my books and, you know, everything about me is right at Businesses Grow.
Awesome. And if you're listening to this, we will be doing a marketing book giveaway, and Mark has been generous to donate some of his books for that as well. So that'll give everyone a chance, assuming for the 1% that haven't read his books before, that'll give you the chance to get them. So Mark, thank you so much.
I do hope that you enjoyed that interview with Mark and that it gave you a new way of focusing your efforts in this time that we live in. I also hope, as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, that you'll reach out to Mark, send him some positive vibes, and we will continue on our mission to serve others through our marketing. And in doing so, make friends, develop relationships. And as a result of that, I think that we're all going to have enough to put on our plate at the end of the day. So everybody stay strong, stay safe, stay at home, and make it a great social day virtually with social separation. We'll talk to you again next week, everybody. Bye-bye.